Perhaps you or a member of your family are about to leave for a new destination. Perhaps it's for your work, or maybe you're heading back to your passport country. What do you think it will be like? Are your expectations too high? We'll look at this today here on MemCare by Radio.
Hello, and welcome to today's program. My name is Jo Clifford, and I'm your host today as we listen to Dave Pollock presenting his ideas on how to leave right in order to enter right. He will present the concept of raft, reconciliation, affirmation, farewell, and think destination. Today we will be thinking about why thinking destination is a vital part of leaving right.
In past sessions, we've had the opportunity to talk about the process of leaving right, the importance of doing some very specific things that make it possible to leave behind people who are pleased with the way we left, and then also opening the way for our entering right in the new place. People who leave right tend to enter right. My suggestion over the years has been that people build a raft, no matter how they plan to actually transport themselves to a new place. They need to build a raft. Four things that are critical to leaving right, represented by each of the letters in the word raft, as an acrostic, with R standing for reconciliation, A, affirmation, F, farewells, and T, think destination, or expectations. Expectations sometimes are too high. Someone has told us that when you go to this new place, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. Wonderful gets translated in our own minds into forms that may not be realistic. And we have wonderful pictures of what it's going to be like when we get there. Sometimes as parents, we do that to our children. We want to encourage them in the process of leaving one place and going to another. And we tell them, oh, it's going to be just great. You're going to love it there. And what that means to the person who's saying it and what it means to the person who's hearing it may be two very, very different things. And when expectations are too high, the individual is open to severe disappointment. And disappointment has a way of moving itself all the way to depression. Expectations that are too good are doomed to failure. On the other hand, expectations can be too bad. Individuals can have terrible fears and prejudice and a sense of dread about going to another place that also may be inappropriate. I was doing a seminar in an international school in China some time ago, and I was talking to a group of fourth graders. And we were talking about how to leave right, because even fourth graders and third graders and first graders and kindergarten kids need to be helped to leave right, and they need to be helped to build their own raft. And as I was talking about expectations, I looked over to my left and saw this one little boy with tears running down his cheeks. I wanted to immediately go over and wrap my arms around him and ask him what was wrong, but it was not appropriate and would have been terribly embarrassing to him, because as he was sitting there with the tears running down his cheeks, he was desperately trying to hide his face from the rest of the class. When I finished, I went over to him, pulled a chair up next to him, and said, I think you're very sad. Do you want to talk to me about it? And he said, I'm not sad. I'm scared. And I said, oh, why are you scared? And he said, we're going to move. And I said, have you moved before? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what are you scared of? He said, we're going to die. Well, that did seem fairly serious, so I pressed it a little bit further and said, why do you think you're going to die? As it turned out, he was the son of a diplomat. They had been posted in China, and his dad had just received word that they were being moved to Iraq. Now, this little boy had been hearing news items about threats for war in Iraq. And as a matter of fact, when he got to school and told his friends that he was going to move to Iraq, they all said, you're going to be killed. And this fourth grader had internalized that, and his mental picture of where he was going was that he was going to step into a situation where death was inevitable. He was very scared. I said to him, have you ever talked to your mom and dad about this? No. I guess he was maybe a little afraid of making them afraid. It's interesting how often children will try to protect their parents against either fear or embarrassment or difficulty, and I think that's what this little guy was doing. And we spent some time talking about why that was an unrealistic fear. Now, I certainly hope he'll be all right, but the fact was that he had an expectation that was so negative that no matter what was going to happen when he actually arrived in Iraq, he was going to carry with him the dread of what the potential experience might be when he was there. Expectations are terribly important. It's interesting as we read the scripture to discover that as we think about this issue of the raft, that in the closing hours of Jesus' life in the upper room, that the very things that are involved in reconciliation, affirmation, farewells, and expectation were the very things that Jesus was doing with his disciples. When he went into the upper room, the first thing he did was to wash their feet. It was a demonstration to them of his reconciliation of them to him. He didn't need to be reconciled to them, but they needed reconciliation to him. They needed to know that they were his. And when Peter resisted and said, "Oh, you're not going to wash my feet," Jesus said, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, you don't belong to me." Peter said, "Then how about a whole bath?" Jesus said, "That's not necessary, just your feet, Peter." And he washed his feet as a demonstration that Peter had been reconciled to him. Now, there's an interesting piece in this because when Jesus washed the feet, he washed the feet of Judas as well as the rest. But Judas didn't accept that reconciliation, and Judas went out and betrayed him. Did that make Jesus a failure? No, Judas failed. Sometimes we're afraid to attempt reconciliation because we're afraid of rejection or we're afraid that the other person will not respond. And sometimes, not often, but sometimes that's exactly what happens. I can't control another person's response when I attempt to reconcile with them. I can only control my own response and my own responsibility to do everything in my power to reconcile that conflict. The other person then has to take responsibility for their part. Reconciliation, affirmation. Jesus said to his disciples, "I no longer called you servants, but friends." He said to them, "I'm going to go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you can be also." That's very affirmative. Farewells, that's what the meal was all about. It was the celebration of the farewell meal from Egypt, but that was not the first time, even in Egypt, that a nomadic people used a meal to say farewell. The one thing that all nomadic people have in Africa, Middle East, Asia, the one consistent thing that they share with each other is how they say goodbye. They always say goodbye with a meal. And coming to that meal that night was Jesus' farewell to the disciples. Expectations, thinking destination, what's ahead? John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus spends talking to the disciples about what's going to happen. He tells them there's tribulation that's going to happen. He tells them that there's a Holy Spirit who's going to come, who's going to teach them, who's going to comfort them, who's going to protect them. He tells them about their life as living, abiding in him, and how that will enrich their life and empower their lives. It's interesting that at the end of that passage, he says to them, "In the world, you'll have tribulation." That's a realistic expectation. "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." That's a realistic and a positive expectation. Jesus did these very four things that we've talked about in Leaving Right in those closing hours with his disciples as he said goodbye to them and prepared them to live out their lives successfully in a new situation, where he had promised, "Lo, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age."
Thank you for listening. Our prayer and desire is that this material has been helpful to you. We encourage you to listen to our other programs on the site, as well as check out the other resources available to you. This is MemCare by Radio.